Welcome back as we are in the middle of the series, Acting Out, which is all about the book of Acts. And if you haven't read the book of Acts, it's really how the church got established. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He was put in the tomb for 3 days. He rose again, and then he appeared to over 500 people. And then he said, wait in Jerusalem, because I'm giving you a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, you were baptized with water, but you're about to be baptized with fire. And in Acts chapter 1 and 2, we see what happens is those handful of believers that knew that Jesus really was the Messiah and the Son of God, the deliverer for all of humanity, they're waiting for him. And then the Holy Spirit shows up and they begin to speak in other languages and they're freaked out, but people hear the commotion and Jews from all over the world are in Jerusalem and they hear them speaking. But they don't hear another language. Like the people who are speaking are like, what am I speaking? They hear their native language and they're testifying. They're telling people about the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. And everybody recognizes it, or most of them recognize it. It's this huge miracle. And thousands come to trust Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it's the foundation of the first church. It starts off with thousands of believers. And we see that you know, it's awesome and amazing, but there's also persecution. And the Jews who are traditionalists don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And last week, we talked about the conversion, the light bulb moment of one of the most ardent persecutors and those in opposition to those who followed Jesus. And his name was Saul, but he has this light bulb moment. And he hears the truth, he hears the voice of God, and he has this conversion because he meets Jesus. And that's in Acts chapter 9. And we're continuing on with Acts chapter 9. Last week, we were talking about, like, if we're gonna have those light bulb moments that bring transformation, we have to pursue the light. You know, we have to expect to hear God's voice, but we have to ask questions of him. Don't be afraid to ask questions, but mostly we have to trust God. Walk in obedience. That's how we know we're trusting him. We're walking out our faith. And then we have to trust the people that he puts in our path. And so we're continuing on with chapter 9. I titled this message, Be Ready. Last week was about light bulb moments. This is kind of like, okay, what do I do after I've had a revelation that Jesus is who he says he is? Like, what do I do? Well, we follow the example of Saul, who has this amazing God moment. His life's transformed. He has the revelation Jesus really is the Messiah. He's the Savior, not of the whole world. He is that, but also for Paul personally, for Saul, who later becomes Paul. And we're going to pick it up at the end of the last message. This could be one whole message, but it's too long. So here we go. Chapter 9 of Acts, and we're looking at verse 20. It says, Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. So when we have our light bulb moments, if we want to continue on in that faith, if we want to be ready for what God has for us next, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open our mouth and tell people the truth of what's happened in our life. Do you have a God story? Like, I'll be honest, like, people that can't tell me the story of God in their life, I wonder if they've actually met him. Because if we don't have a story, this is how I met Jesus, and this is what happened to me. This is all Saul is doing. He's going around after he has this amazing conversion moment where literally he's knocked off of his horse, this blinding light, this voice from heaven that says, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. Now get up. I'm going to send you to somebody. Go to that person. Do what they say. He sends him to Ananias, and Ananias goes to pray for him. And Paul is able to, you know, when he sees the light, he's blind that he can't see. But when Ananias prays for him, scales fall off of his eyes. He's able to see. And then he eats some food because he hadn't eaten or drank anything for 3 days. And the next verse after that, like his very next thing, is he begins to tell people about his encounter with the Son of God. Where's your God story? Like, what stories do you tell about how good God is? Like, how I met my wife, like a God story. Like, how I ended up in ministry, a total God story. Like, how I ended up, you know, in Lake Charles, crazy, crazy God story. How the how the church got to where it is, crazy God story, how I got the vehicles that I have, God story, how I got the houses that I have, God story, like, because Jesus is in it. And if you know me, you'll have heard the stories. If you've been in the church any amount of time, you'll hear the stories over and over. Sometimes I wonder, gosh, are people tired of these stories? But I can't help but tell them, because that's what happens when you have an encounter with Jesus that changes everything. Like, you can't help but say, listen, hold on. Yeah, like here's what you see, but let me tell you what really happened. Let me tell you the backstory. Like, they saw Paul, or Saul at this point, and the believers were scared of him because they knew that he was persecuting Christians, arresting them, hoping that they would be executed for blasphemy. This is a bad guy to the Christians. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. And the very first thing that he did after he had this encounter in Jesus, with Jesus, and after he then connected with Ananias, and, you know, his blindness was healed, the very next thing that he does, immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying he's the Son of God. I'm a foodie. I love good food. I can tell you where to go to get good food in Lake Charles. I can tell you where to go to get great food in Lafayette. I mean, I've got my favorites, man. I have my favorites in Lake Charles, man. Taste Right was one of my favorites. It's gone. Sorry, Hurricane. Man, I love Royal Tandoor. It's great. I'm gonna say, hey, let's go here. Let's try this. In Lafayette, man, I mean, I'm a huge old-time grocery fan. Like, you hang around me, like, I'll be, oh, this city, this is where you eat. Because I'm passionate about that. Because good food for me, I can remember I can remember meals that I ate as a kid that were impactful for me because it did something in me because it was so nourishing and wonderful. I don't know about nourishing, but definitely wonderful. Some of it was junk, but it was good. When we experience something good, the natural response is to tell people about it. You don't have to be as expressive and vocal and outward as I am. That's my personality. But you still, when people ask, you're going to tell them the good things in your life. This is what Saul is doing. And if we're, like, what's the next thing after I have that moment, tell people about the good things that God did in your life. Tell people. The whole point of baptism is after that conversion so that it is the first message that you ever preach. Listen, the old me is dead. That's what the picture of baptism is, in the water. Like, you're going, it's like going in the ground. Like, the old me is dead, but the new one that comes out is like resurrected. It's the new spiritual man, the spiritual woman, that transformation that's taken place. Immediately, he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue. How do we grow after that conversion thing? What should we be ready to do? We should be ready to tell people about Jesus. Here's the second thing. We can prove to people that Jesus is the Messiah. Listen, I'm all about apologetics. Like, I love meeting people that believe that there's no God or believe that Jesus was just a historical figure, because there are proofs that you can prove, like historically and archaeologically, the truth of who Jesus was, the truth that there's a God. This is easy, but that's not really the proof that makes the most impact with people. It says that in verse 22, it says, Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Do you know what Paul's greatest proof? He used the Bible, of course. He was well-versed in Torah. He was well-versed in the Tanakh and the Ketuvim and the Nevi'im. These are the Old Testament, basically, for us. He was well-versed in those, and he could prove through all of the prophecies that Jesus was the Messiah. But you know the most powerful thing that he had? It was the story that he had, the story of a guy that hated Christians, that believed that Jesus was a blasphemer. He was fake, and he wanted to put his followers to death until he met Jesus. And that's the power. It was the power of his own personal encounter with Jesus. This is what we have to prove to people. Listen, you should study the Bible. I'd love it if you can go through, hey, here's all the prophecies. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at the Jesus. Let's look at the archaeological evidence. Let's look at the historical evidence. Those are good things, but the most powerful tool you have to prove that Jesus is alive and he's the Messiah and the Son of God is your story. Do you have one? And if so, when's the last time you shared it? And so we got to put feet to what God has done in our life. Paul immediately, he begins to tell people about what like what's happened and who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. How did he tell them? I know because I met him. That is when we have light bulb moments. This is a picture of what we're called to be ready to tell people about Jesus. Be ready to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. Like he is the Messiah. How do you prove? You tell your story. It's Romans 12:11. It tells how we overcome the enemy, how we overcome the darkness. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That means we've encountered Jesus. And by the word of our testimony. What's that saying? By the way, that's like hugely important. Like, how do we overcome? It's Jesus and telling others our God story. They couldn't refute his proofs. His proof was a transformed life, an understanding of God's purpose. He understood the Bible, but he understood transformation in his own life. Nothing is as impactful and powerful as a story, a God story. Man, I want you to have that. You'll never have a God story. You can have a light bulb moment. You can hear, this is last week, you can hear the voice of God. You can have questions answered by Jesus, but until you step out and do what he's called you to do, you'll never experience the real miracle. Conversion is not simply a mindset. It's a path that you walk, and it's a daily one. Am I ready to tell people about the goodness of who Jesus is in my life? Am I willing by my story that I've walked out to prove that Jesus is alive because he's making a life-changing difference in me? Here's the third thing. I got to be ready to pursue other believers. Paul did this. Saul, that we see this, he did this. It says, while some of the Jews plotted together to kill him, he was telling them about Jesus. They were watching him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. Other believers. He was in relationship with other believers. And for him, it ended up being physical salvation. Like it saved him from being killed. And there's a lesson for us. We have to be willing to pursue other believers. Now, remember, he's in Damascus. It's modern day Syria. He was on the way there to kill Christians, but has an encounter with Jesus. And when he actually gets to Damascus and Ananias prays for him and he can see again, now instead of killing Christians, he's going to the synagogue and telling all of the Jews that Jesus really is the Son of God. Well, they get upset with him and they try to kill him. But Ananias and all of those other believers who know that this was a real deal, they save him. Because Paul embraced other believers. Do you embrace other believers? Man, it'll be a salvation for you. It's not always easy. We're going to read on. Saul goes back to Jerusalem. He escapes Damascus because they're trying to kill him. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They rejected him. And let me just tell you this. Not every believer is going to get, like, not every follower of Jesus is going to accept you. And I'm sorry for that. Some people deal with their fears and their insecurities poorly, and they may believe up here with Jesus, but they sometimes have trouble trusting him, not just with their heart, but even in walking it out. And Paul encountered that. He encountered people who weren't mature enough to see the transformation and trust him. I get it. I'm sure he got it as well. But the fact of the matter is that could have been a splinter. That could have been a point of offense where he's like, Jesus, I know you're real. And these people, like, they say that they know you, but now they're rejecting me when I'm proclaiming you and you know my life was transformed. He could have taken offense with other believers who didn't have quite the story that he had. And people do that all the time. Oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They say they follow Jesus. They don't live like him because Jesus embraced everybody. And he brought close those who turned to him. Saul had turned to him. But the other believers were pushing him away because of their fears, because of their doubts. You're going to encounter that. But that doesn't mean you should give up on people. Don't give up on people. So they didn't believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas, another believer, brought him to the apostles and told him how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus, how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He told him that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. Surely Saul had told the same story to believers, but they didn't believe him. You need to be around people who can validate, what God's doing in you is huge. Don't give up. You got to pursue believers. Don't let the ones who are the naysayers and the rejectors and push you away and think, don't listen to them. They're immature. They're motivated by fear, not by the Holy Spirit. Thank goodness for Barnabas, who grabs Saul and says, no, man, let me take you to some people and I'm going to tell your story for you. And later, we see Barnabas' name, like his nickname is the son of encouragement. Saul, later Paul, same guy, is the one who names him that. And I can't help but think it was at this moment where Saul goes back to Jerusalem. He's had an encounter with Jesus, boldly proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God, so much so that the Jews in Damascus want to kill him. But when he gets back to Jerusalem, he's rejected by believers in Jesus. Thank God for Barnabas. Who's the Barnabas in your life? Who's encouraging you? Listen, man, I'm sorry so-and-so did you wrong. I'm sorry this happened. Let me tell you, there's a God story that needs to be told in you. I'm going to help tell it. You need those people. Pursue them. And then Barnabas takes him to the more mature believers. He takes him to the apostles. He takes him to Peter and James and John. And it says actually in verse 28, so Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them. Get around, pursue believers, pursue those that are stronger than you. And that really leads us to the fourth thing is we have to be willing to grow stronger. Like that conversion moment, the light bulb, Jesus showing up, like it's crazy, it's wild, God moments. How do you live out your faith from that mountaintop? You keep telling people about Jesus. You keep proving with your life that Jesus is alive because he's changed you, and you tell those stories. Tell the stories. The most powerful thing that you have, Revelation 12, 11, you overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. It's Jesus. But it's also you telling your God story. You got to tell your God story to yourself and remind yourself, man, I remember when I was 8 years old. I'm talking about me. I remember, God, you met me at 8 years old. You met me at 14. You met me at 19. You met me at 22. You met me at 31. Like, God, you tell those God stories to yourself, but also tell them to others. And like, man, let me tell you, oh, you see this car? Oh, yeah, well, let me tell you the story behind it because there's one. Because God shows up. Prove, continue to prove. Pursue other believers. You're going to encounter negative ones. You're going to encounter those who are motivated more by fear than faith. Okay, just don't follow in their footsteps. Find the encouragers, find the Barnabases, find the apostles, find those who are stronger in their faith, that have walked with Jesus longer, and walk with them. It's key. I cannot explain to you how important this is. Like, it's not just you and God. It's not just a personal relationship. You need to pursue mature people who can help you grow. Trust them. Listen to them. They're not perfect. They'll have their own areas where you see their humanity. But if you focus on the Holy Spirit at work in them more than you focus on their humanity, you're going to get what God's done in them is going to happen to you. Get around them. Do it. And then here's the last thing. Grow stronger. He stayed with the apostles, went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. Yeah, there's going to be people that hate on you for your faith. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and they sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. Look at verse 31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. It became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. You got to grow stronger spiritually. That only happens when you walk out your faith and you open your mouth. It also happens when you're around strong believers and you surrender yourself, like in a sense, like they're not your God and you're not your boss, but like you're gonna trust the people, the godly, encouraging, grounded people who've been walking longer with Jesus than you have. You're gonna trust them. You're gonna blow off the people that wanna kill you, the people that reject you, the people that are immature. And then you grow stronger spiritually, you grow stronger relationally, you grow stronger in the Holy Spirit and encouragement. And that's how you grow. That's how the church grew. not just in spiritual depth and understanding, but relationally and numerically. It starts with that connect with Jesus. It continues as we tell our story. It continues as we walk together and we trust God. That's it. Conversion, great. Growth, Tell your story. Tell your story. Preach Jesus. Connect with other people and trust the leading of the Spirit. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe God's speaking to you and say, trust me and trust people. Yes, there's bad Christians. Sorry. There's people who are driven by fear. There's people who may want to kill you with their words. I don't know. Get around the encouragers and get in the presence of God. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. So Father, I just pray that those that truly you're speaking to them right now, I pray they pray a prayer of surrender to trust you. Father, I pray that you highlight grounded believers that can be an encouragement to them, encourage them to tell their story, encourage them to get in the right relationships that can help them grow, can encourage them to trust you in your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. See y'all soon. Get connected here and here. God bless.